Good morning, Transforming Love Christian Center. Welcome back to another Sunday. This is truly the day that the Lord has made, and I don't know about you, but I am excited to rejoice in it. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for a new day. We thank you for being our same God in this new day, Lord. We thank you for new mercy and new grace, Lord. We thank you for love that never runs out. Thank you, Lord, for bestowing on us such great gifts, Lord, that we don't have room enough to receive, Lord, and that we didn't earn, and that if we're being honest, we don't deserve, Lord. But you, so rich in mercy, so rich in grace and love towards us, Lord, we become recipients, Lord, grateful children. Lord, we thank you for this new day. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to exalt you in this day and to lift you high and to adore you, Lord. And hopefully, Lord, that our endeavor today is to share the gospel, to share the gospel so that someone else, Lord's eyes might be open as you have opened our eyes, Lord. We don't take for granted, Lord, that you loved us enough, not only to send your son, Christ Jesus, Lord, but to show us our need for a savior in this dark world, Lord. We ask you right now, Lord God, that we agree with you, that we agree with your word that will go forth today, that we agree with your word every single day, Lord God, and that we take that burden of truth, Lord God, and spread it out like seeds, Lord, so that you might give increase in this earth. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for every person that we will encounter, not just today, but every single day, Lord, every opportunity, Lord God, that we will have, that you will reveal to us, Lord God, where the gospel, Lord God, can be inserted. We thank you, Lord God, that we are willing vessels, Lord God, willing, Lord God, in your service, Lord, to do what you've called us to do. Willing, Lord God, to go out, Lord God, and perform the Great Commission, Lord. Let us not take for granted, Lord God, the ability of our voices, Lord God, and our able bodies to be able to do those things, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to really, really, really see the calling on our lives. Lord, we thank you. We just thank you so much. Lord, as the word goes forth today, Lord, Lord, it is our desire, Lord God, that that word would fall on good ground, Lord God. And we know that you're out there making that pathway clear, Lord God. We ask right now that every heart that would tune in, Lord God, that you are already softening those hearts, Lord, that you are making that path clear, Lord God, for the gospel to be planted, Lord. Help us, Lord God, use your children, Lord God, to water those seeds, Lord God, so they will begin to produce fruit, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord God, not to be so leery of those who are unbelieving, Lord God, who have not come into your truth, Lord God, and help us to recall when we too had not come and walked in your truth, had not surrendered our lives, Lord God, to your will. Help us to have that burden that someone had for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for all the many, many wonderful things that you are doing in our lives, Lord God, through a pandemic, Lord God, through change, through adversity, Lord God, through triumph, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that everything that you are allowing in our space, in our worlds, Lord God, that it has one purpose, Lord God, and that is to draw us closer to you, Lord God, to mold us into your son, Christ Jesus, so that we would reflect his image and his likeness and his character. Lord, we welcome those lessons, Lord, however hard they may feel at times, Lord God. We know that you're in control, and we know, Lord God, that it is all working together for our good. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, as we venture on through this service, Lord God, have your way. Bless those who are listening. In your son, Christ Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Transforming Love Christian Center. I always count it a privilege to just be able to worship the Lord, period. And more like the icing on the cake is to worship the Lord in your home with you, wherever you are, in your car, in your headsets. It's just a beautiful thing to know that the Word of God still goes forth, and it definitely goes forth in this house. So welcome to Transforming Love Christian Center. Let's go ahead and we're going to read the scripture, and then I'll give you a few announcements. Today, our scripture is coming from Psalms 51, Psalms 51, and we're going to read 1 through 12. And when you have it, you know, you can type amen or you can just say amen out loud in your own home. I am again going to challenge you. Read the word of God out loud. Lift up your voice and read the word. I know normally we do that collectively here as believers together with our family. So wherever you are with your individual family, let's read the word of God out loud together. All right, here we go. Psalms 51 and 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Praise God. That was Psalms 51, 1 through 12. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word as we endeavor to do and live out his truth. All right, family, I have just a couple of announcements. If there's more information that you need about our ministry, we welcome you to visit us at www.transformingloveCC.org. There you can find out what we believe. You can also click over to Bible study. Our Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Thursday nights via Zoom. So if you're trying to get plugged into that, send us a message and we'll do our best to get you plugged in. We're having a great time learning about God's word together as a family. And also you can click on over to the donate page for those of you who've been giving. Thank you so much. You have allowed us to further the ministry and continue to do the work that we are called to do within this ministry. So thank you. And those of you who are saying, man, I really want to start giving to this ministry. I've been tuning in. I see what they believe. I want to help this ministry to further the kingdom of God. You can click on the donate page, and right there you'll see we have two ways of giving. You can go Zelle right from your account into our ministry where we're doing the work, or you can send a check or money order into the P.O. box that's listed on the website. So that's all the information. Anything that you might need, if you're needing to contact us, you can do that all at www.transformingloveCC.org. And without further ado, we are a singing church, and we love to lift up the name of the Lord in song. So let's do that together, family. Let's worship.
Let's sing of the great love of our great God.
Time or pen can never tell.
Thank you for loving us, Lord.
Amen. I'm glad to be here in the house of the Lord today, the house of worship. It's been a while, but I'm excited, you know, excited because I'm amazed every time, you know, I get up here at what it took and what God did in order for me to just be in this position to talk about his word, to preach his gospel. Because if it had been what was in me naturally, it couldn't happen, you know. So that excites me right there. I got a word today for you, and it's coming out of Romans as we're working our way through the book of Romans. I've thus far made it to verse 12, the last message I believe that I preached was called The Mutual Faith. And we're going to start at 13 today, and we're going to go through verse 15. So let's pray first. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this day that you've made, Lord. Truly rejoice and am glad, Father God, because it's your will, Father God, that has been done, Father God, that has woken each and every one of us up, Father God, given us breath in our lungs. It's your will, Father God, that we exist here in this world at this time, Father God. It's your will, Father God, that we are able to come together, Father God, in this capacity, Father God, on Facebook, Lord, and other, you know, media devices and stuff like that. We're able to come together and worship, Father God. Nothing has really stopped us and been successful, Father God, at causing us not to be able to worship your name, to come together in fellowship, Father God, Father God, that you desire us to know, Father God, and to hear on today, Lord. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Romans, if you can open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 13. It reads, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Now, my intention was to preach from 13 all the way through 17, but I didn't make it. That right there, that ended at 15, that was a handful. And I just pray that you would open your ears and take out your pens and your paper, your notepads, take some notes, and just relax and be patient as I teach this word. And I pray that we will all get something from it. But the text reads again, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you." And I want us to notice, I want you to underline the word "I." We got the word I that comes after now. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And oftentimes I again underline that purpose to come unto you. And then a third time, we see that I says that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I want to first establish the speaker in this text. Now, at first glance, maybe even second or third glance, it may seem as if Paul is speaking. He's the author of this book. He's the one who's writing this letter to those who are at Rome. Right? But, and that's what I thought for a very long time now. But after reading the text over and over again, and already having my mind fixed on who I believed to be the author of this writing based on the physical nature of the person Paul that once existed, and then my eyes were open to the real speaker of this text, which is the Holy Spirit. We get a good look here at the work and the transparency of the Holy Spirit in his writing. Paul gets the credit for it. He gets the credit for this transparency, but it's the Holy Spirit that's working behind the scenes and manifesting this transparency that we see. When we see the word I these three times in the text, you don't believe me? Good. Let's go to John 15 and 5. It reads, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now let's go back to the beginning when he says, I will not have you ignorant, brethren. Now the word brethren disguises the Holy Spirit. But we know that it's the Father who desires his children not to be ignorant. When you see that word brethren, it seems as if Paul is speaking, which he is, speaking to his brethren, his equals. Right? So it's easy to miss the Holy Spirit in that. But I'm here to show you that it's the Holy Spirit, like I said, that's speaking, and he's the one that desires us not to be ignorant. Just a little side dish in here is we get to see a wonderful, awesome parenting trait of the Father, and that is his desire that his children not be ignorant. I had a conversation with one of my sons on this past week, and I had to encourage him with some insight. I have this idea, which is certainly not a new idea, but I have this idea, if he can see into the future, if my kids can see into the future, if our children can see into the future, not only will he or they be able to bypass many of the mistakes that we've made and a plethora of our ancestors have made before us, but also that he might be encouraged to press through these difficult times, knowing that one, they won't last for long, and two, there's very much value to gain in the difficulties that we face in life. My other son, he has some similar difficulties in completing his assignments and doing his work in school like that. I had the same thing going on when I was a kid. And I believe that a big part of that was just my lack of understanding, my ignorance to why it was I had to do the things that I did, why it was I was being put through what I was being put through. I couldn't see into the future, so I wanted to give up. Right? But God, He doesn't want us to be ignorant, and He doesn't want us to be ignorant for that reason. He doesn't want you to give up. He's not going to put you in a position to give up and quit. Why? Because He knows that there's something great at the end of the line for you to possess if you just continue to press and push through the difficulties that you face. And I don't know about you, but when I was coming up, you know, I heard a lot. When you question, are you an adult, or you ask a certain questions of an adult, is don't worry about it. Mind your business. Or it's not for you to know this at this time, or so forth. You know, those type of responses and answers. And a lot of that you probably weren't supposed to know at that time, but a lot of it, probably, if we would take the time to explain to our children and give them some insight into the future, it would better them. It would give them more confidence. It would motivate them a lot more to push through. And not just our children, but God here, He is telling us that He doesn't want us to be ignorant, because we need to be motivated. We need to be assured that our efforts are not going by the wayside. What I'm trying to say, folks, is that we have to stop handicapping our children with planks of ignorance. We have to stop handicapping each other with planks of ignorance. Such as, he or she can't handle the truth, or is not ready to hear the truth. Yes, he or she is ready to hear the truth. And not only our children, but like I said before, God's current and potential children are ready for the truth. That means the whole world is ready. Well, since we've established that the Holy Spirit is the I speaking, we ought to, one, begin to seek wisdom, as it's told to us in James 5:1-5, excuse me. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And two, begin to exercise this trait ourselves. This is a shareable trait. Remember, not too long ago, we learned that there are some traits that God has that he only possesses. And then there's some traits that he shares with us, that he wants us to have the same as he does. Why? Because we are to imitate him. We represent him as his children. And these are one of those traits that he's given to us to share. And he expects us to put those to practice. As parents, as children, friends, brothers, sisters, etc., it's our duty to educate and to inform those who are ignorant. We go on in Romans. It says that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. Let's look at this word let. Let's do a word. I did a word search. I'm telling you, you guys got to get this word searching into your life. It'll bless you mightily. It's one thing to just read the word. It's another thing for you to meditate on the word. And there's even words like this, let, hitherto. These are words that I've probably read over 100 times and not even thought twice about it. With this word, let, when I looked it up, means to hinder. Originally, I read it, I thought it meant led, not let. But it says, let to hinder, prevent, forbid, to withhold a thing from anyone, to deny or refuse one a thing. Other versions of the Bible, they will say prevent. I long to come and meet up with you, but up until this time, I was prevented from doing so. Strong's definition here for let means that is prevent by word or act. To forbid, again, hinder, keep from, let. That word hitherto means until, unto, etc. Terminus, through the idea of a terminus. Terminus meaning a final point in space or time, an end or extremity. Paul has mentioned now several times in this introduction his desire to come to Rome in person, to fellowship with the people there, to have some fruit among them, which I'll touch on shortly. And in his mentioning this, the constant denial of his petition to do so. He's mentioned it several times, even in the opening of this book, Rome, how often or how he desired to come to Rome and fellowship with them and have some fruit among them. And it wasn't happening. So he mentioned this constant denial of his petition to do so. And we ought to again see the presence of and the working of and the control of the Holy Spirit in this. Paul opens up, if we go back to verse 1, establish himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. That means he is not his own person. He is not his own. He can make all the plans that he wants to make. And I'm sure he had many desires. He made many plans that he thought was probably on point, right? As do you and I. We make all kind of plans. But what do? We make plans first and then we put God on top. We put the cherry on top. We put the whipped cream on top. Right? After we done already baked the pie and made certain core mistakes within our planning, then we want to try to dress it up and make it look good. And we want God to snap his finger and make it perfect. Okay? So we do that. And I'm sure Paul did that. He wasn't perfect. He was a man. He'd tell you all the time, you know, how human he was. But he made these plans and he did all this petitioning and he says, but I was let hitherto. Why? Why was Paul prevented by word or act from going to Rome? He didn't go into detail as to what or how he was prevented. God could have spoken to him by word or caused some kind of act to happen or to take place that caused him not to be able to go where he wanted to go. But why was he forbidden, hindered, kept from? Here's a good one. If we go back to the definition, why was he not suffered to go? The old saying is there's two sides to every coin. How often when we want something and are denied a thing, do we look at the other side of that coin and praise the Lord for it? How often do we look at the other side of the coin and worship when God says no? We get so used to flipping the coin and getting heads and it's all good. But what happened when tails hit? Is it still all good? Do we recognize the good in that? Because God is in control, ultimately, of both sides of the coin. How often do we praise and worship when God tells us no? Maybe even shout for joy, knowing that our ruler knows best and, again, is in complete control. He goes on to say that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Fruit is defined as that which originates or comes from something, an effect, a result, work, act, deed, advantage, profit, utility. Here we go, praises, which are presented to God as a thank offering, to gather fruit, reap harvest, and to eternal life. Guess what? God knows best, and the fruit ultimately what? Belongs to Him. So when Paul says he longs to gather with the people so that he can have some fruit, we see again what? It's not Paul that's really speaking. It's the Holy Spirit that's speaking, because the fruit don't belong to Paul. The fruit belongs to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Paul's master, taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And it reads, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we have the petitions that we desire of him. We know that we have his ear. We know that he's listening to us. If we ask what's in his desire, what's in his will, what's in his plan, that's a privilege. That's an honor to know, to be assured that God is listening to you. Know that we have his audience. But guess what? On the flip side of that coin, if you're not praying within his desire, you shouldn't really even expect to have his audience, to have his ear, to get what it is that you desire. And when you get what you get, you get what you deserve. You get what you planted. You get what you sowed. So we see here again the proof of the Holy Spirit driving in these statements that we read. It's not Paul in of himself that desires, again, the fruit to be this fruit, but initially it's the Holy Spirit. And look at this. If God needed Paul to be in Rome in order to reap his harvest, he would have made it the first time. He wouldn't even have to ask God, can I go see my folks in Rome? He definitely wouldn't have to continue to pray on it over and over again. Genesis 18:13-14 reads, and the Lord said unto Abraham, we know the story, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child? which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Was asked. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Jeremiah 32:17 reads, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Okay? So it's nothing too hard for the Lord. If God wanted Paul to go to Rome at those times when he was petitioning and asking, he could have dried up the sea like he did before and gave him safe and straight passage to Rome. He could have did whatever he wanted to do to make sure that Paul was there if that was what was needed. The same goes for us as believers in the Lord and servants of Jesus Christ. We have to be all in on the fact that there is nothing too hard for God. And our position, our location, our health, our money, our level of education, our title, our time, nothing can prevent God from reaping a marvelous harvest. He's going to do it with or without you or me. It's our job, it should be our desire just to be in his will. 14 reads, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. And I won't go into detail on chapter 14 because that's a whole lesson in itself. I'll be up here all day. But I will say that Paul here, he lets us know that his commitment is to Christ. And his commitment to Christ means that he's committed to the whole world. When he says, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise, he just covered everything right there. And first and foremost, he's indebted to Jesus Christ. So if he's in the will of Christ, and Christ's desires are his desires, everything he does is unto Christ. Guess what? That means that everything he does is to the world. Because Christ died for the world, for the sins of the world, that we all might come into a knowledge of him, that we all might be saved. He's doing the work of the Lord. No biases, no favorites. And he knows his lane. He goes on to say, and this is where we'll end for today. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Look, there's that I again. There's the Holy Spirit again. You see him? You see him? Let me encourage you this morning, whoever you are, wherever you are, no matter your position or disposition, when as much as is in you is the Holy Spirit, you have all you need. I'll say that again. When as much as in you is the Holy Spirit, you got all you need. You ready. You have all you need to effectively preach the gospel. And I'm not just talking to those who have a title in ministry. I'm talking to each and every one of you that are under the sound of my voice right now, that are listening and can hear me talk. Remember back in verse 6, Paul says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Right? He didn't say the preachers and the prophets and the choir singers and so forth. He said, to whom are ye also, all of you? He was talking to everybody. The citizens of Rome and ultimately the citizens of this world. Those who choose to give their life to Christ and live for Christ, ye are the called. Called to do what? Called to just be saved? No. No. Called to preach the gospel. That's what we called to do. In many different capacities, but it all comes down to being called to preach and spread the gospel to as many people as we can. This hit me this morning. I began to think about, as do I all the time, the difficulties that I faced accepting the fact that I'm ready. You know, I go all week long, especially these last couple of weeks. Well, I won't say especially these last couple of weeks because it's just been an ongoing thing, but I can recall much easier these last couple of weeks, you know, because they've been pretty tough at work. And I've been dealing with just dealing with people, this one person in particular. And this person just knows how to get under your skin, knows how to get you out of character. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I pray. You know, the Lord's Prayer. You know, and I go to work and you know, I got a smile on my face. I'm excited. You know what I mean? I'm feeling good. Right? And I already got this kind of persona about me. And people know who I am in the Lord. You know, so when I go, I'm trying to represent God. I'm trying to represent Christ when I'm out and about. Just living my life in general. I'm trying to represent, you know, and guess what? The enemy is crafty. He's very crafty. And he knows. And this particular person, again, you know, was just in my face all week long. And inside of me, I'm like, I just want to come to work. I want to do my job, go home. It's not difficult. You know what I mean? All I got to do is go out here, hop in my truck, go out here, pick up some garbage, come on back home, be with my family, be back in my element. You know, but no, I got to see this person every day. This person wants to nitpick about this, wants to talk about this, wants to talk about this and blah, 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 and so forth. And it just got to the point one day where I had to walk off on this person. Then I came back, and then when we had the conversation shortly after that, you know, my temperature started to rise a little bit. You know what I mean? I started to get a little bit loud with this person. You know, and, you know, when it was all said and done and I was, you know, on the road, you know, I'm by myself in my office, my truck, and, you know, I'm beating myself up. I'm like, dang, you know, I failed, you know. How can I go up here and preach on Sunday? No, I got to go preach on Sunday, you know, and I don't feel like I really, you know, behave like a Christian right there. I fail. Right? It happens. So I'm facing this difficulty this week. And I think about Paul. And I think about how Paul, what he must have had to go through to get ready. And he can't wait to taunt us, you and I, with those things that we go through. Remember the story of Job. You know the story. And if you don't know the story, if you haven't read about Job, open up your Bible and go to the book. It's called Job and read it. It'll bless you. But remember, Satan was traveling to and fro throughout the land looking for trouble, pretty much. Looking to see who he can deceive. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? Now see right there. Don't miss that. Have you considered my servant Job? God said that. Satan didn't come up to him talking about Job. God said, have you considered my servant Job? But Satan told God that Job had been given everything, and that's the only reason as to why he was faithful to God. But if you take these things away, he'll curse you to your face. And God did allow for those things to be taken from Job because he knew that he was all Job needed. Job had the houses, he had the cattle, he had the family, he had the oils, he had it all. But guess what? None of that is what had Job ready to be able to contend against what he did when Satan was allowed to take everything from him. None of those things were what Job needed in order to be ready to stand firm on the word of God. Somebody say, Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all I need. Say it with me. I can't hear you, but say it. Somebody say, Jesus is all that I need. At the end of the day, as much as was in Job, he was ready and resolved to trust in God. And we have to believe and do the same thing. Whether as much as in us is fumes, maybe we had everything taken from us. Maybe we just lost a relative. Maybe we just lost our job. Maybe we've been out there looking, and nothing has gone right. Maybe you on your last sense of what? Maybe you just at your last with some person like I was. And that person is just, you know, on your last nerve. And you ready, like Pastor Rick says, you about to go tick, tick, boom. You know? Maybe you're on them kind of fumes. Or maybe you're dealing with much. Maybe you have an abundance right now. Whatever it is, how much you have, how much you don't have, the amount is sufficient. You remember? Donnie McClurkin said, we fall down, but we get up. The only reason we're able to get up is because God lifts us up or raises us up. He's the reason. He's the amount that we have in us and that we need in order to be ready. So that's my encouragement for you this morning, saints, is be encouraged that whatever the amount that you have in you, as much as is in you is, you are ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this word on today. Father God, I did not expect it, but that's you, Lord. You're amazing in everything that you do. You're amazing in every word that you speak, Father God. I pray, thanking you, Lord, for this word on today, Father God, and pray that it would be a blessing, Father God, to everybody that hears. Because if everybody is like me, Lord, they all get discouraged at certain times. We all get to low points, Father God. And we all, I wouldn't say, are humbled to the point of not wanting to go forward and do what it is that you have called or asked us to do, Father God. But we lack in confidence. And we lack in confidence, Father God, because we're leaning on and we're depending on everything else but you, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, for opening my eyes and our eyes, Lord, to the existence, Father God, of the Holy Spirit that resides in us, Father God, that abides in us as we abide in you, Lord. And the control that he has, the power that he has, the sufficiency that he has, that will cause us and that causes us, Lord, to be ready, Father God, to do this terrific work, Father God, this mighty work, Father God, that you have called us all to participate in and to do, Lord. So I pray, Father God, that we will all just continue to read over this word, Father God, these words, Lord, study it more, pray on it more, Father God. Open ourselves up to be encouraged by it continually, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you will bless it, Lord, in every way, Lord, for each and every one of us. And I just give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord, on today, and pray and ask these things and say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for living in us, Lord. Thank you for having an ear to hear us, Father God. Thank you for your love towards us that we don't deserve. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I pray and ask these things and give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord. And say amen and amen. Please share this with everybody. Like Corey Henry says, how many bodies? Everybody. Share it with everybody. Share it with your mama. Share it with your nephews, your nieces, your uncles. We all need this message of encouragement to lean on the Holy Spirit. All right? So thank you guys for listening. I pray, Father, I pray a blessing over all of you guys. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. Good night.